Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, how many of you guys are watching that video and you're thinking, like, my family is everything but the very last one, right? Well, I'm excited. We're jumping in. We're going to jump into a four-week series, which we're entitling Bless This Home. And before we jump in, let me just do a quick survey. Let me ask you, how many of you guys would like your homes and your families to be blessed, right? Raise your hand. All right, those of you who aren't raising your hand, what is wrong with you? Seriously. Something's different. Like, if you're not raising your hand, obviously you want your family to be cursed, right? No. Just joking. Of course not. But I think when we look at that, I mean, many of us, we probably don't relate to that last family. Many of us, when we look at our homes, when we look at families today, the word blessed doesn't come to mind. In fact, we look at many people and we may think, man, you know what? The fact that, hey, these families are struggling, right? These families are going through something. We may think, like, yeah, they need prayer. If you look at families today, there's a record number today of families who are trying to support a family on one income because it's a single parent, right? There's other families that are blended families, which, again, there's a ton of blessing that comes in with a blended family, but there's also a lot of challenges, right? It's raising his kids, her kids, their kids, our kids. Pretty soon the neighbor kids are living under your roof and you didn't even know it yet. But it goes through a lot of that stuff, right? There's times where it could go through and there's some struggles. You look at people and you're like, wow, they're going through something. Maybe even in marriages, you look at people's marriages or you look at your own marriage, you're thinking like, man, this isn't really what it should be. Raising kids is a little bit more difficult than what you thought. Like, who would have thought that they poop like 5 times a day? Who would have thought this stuff, right? Maybe financially, you look at people and like, wow. Or you look at yourself and you're thinking like, paycheck to paycheck, paycheck to like the next day, and then you're waiting for the next pay. Like, struggles every single day. And whatever it is, you look at your home, you look at others, and you just feel like, you know what? We're not blessed. We're going through this. I wish we were blessed, but really, we're going through this and we're struggling. And this is kind of going to be what this series is about. We're going to go through and kind of talk about this, and we're going to dig really what it looks like to be blessed in our life and how we can make that happen. So we're going to talk about, really today, we're going to talk about how being blessed, how we can be blessed by pursuing righteousness in every area of our life. And then in next week, we're going to talk about purity in our homes and the importance of purity and how that leads to blessing. And then in a few weeks, we're going to talk about how we can become peacemakers, not just peace takers, not just peacekeepers, but actually peacemakers, which there's a huge difference from that, and how that leads to being blessed. And then how oftentimes, too, when we are blessed, what we'll experience? We'll experience persecution with that. And all this is really coming from Jesus, believe it or not. He said this in one of his most famous sermons. He said this in the Sermon on the Mount, and it was the beginning portion of the sermon known as the Beatitudes, which is found in Matthew chapter 5. So for the next few weeks, we're going to kind of go over this sermon. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And again, as always, if you don't have a Bible, we would challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource that you can take with you wherever you go. It has different reading plans. It has different devotionals. It has different topics that maybe you're going through that you're struggling with that you can read something about that topic each day. Again, the Bible is meant to be read every single day. If you look at why people grow with Christ, it's actually because they read their Bible daily. So I'll challenge you to download that and read your Bible daily. And today we're going to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 5. And I'll challenge you to maybe go home and write this down word for word. Maybe even commit this to memory. But check this out here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. It says this. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were with you before." Today we're really going to jump in. We're going to study verse 6. And verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. When we pursue the righteousness, and it's the righteousness that only comes from Jesus, we will experience blessings and we will experience a filling like we've never been able to before. If you think about it, though, so many homes aren't filled, right? So many homes aren't blessed. There's people, there's families, there's homes, there's households that are striving for something, right? It seems like they're always searching for something. They're going after something, but they can never fill it. They can never fill that void. They can never find that one thing that brings them meaning. I think the truth is, in many of our lives, we're searching for something that doesn't matter. Many of us, we fall into this trap of seeking after and pursuing things that really don't matter, whether it's keeping up with the Joneses, right? We do our best to get a nicer car. We're doing everything we can to have a better appearance on the outside. Maybe at our homes, it's all about like getting a perfect garden so that we can match up with our neighbor's garden. Maybe it's getting some different furniture so our inside is the most comfortable. When people come over, they're like, yeah, I want what their house looks like, right? We're searching for all these things. Maybe it's even just what we're our outside appearance of how we look, right? Making sure that we look completely perfect every day, in and out. But maybe we're not pursuing righteousness. We're called to hunger and thirst for God. We're called to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if we don't, the truth is we're missing out. So let me just ask you a question that you can think through. And I want you to think through this. And I want you to be really honest with yourself. In your home, what are you hungering for? In your life, in your apartment, with your friends, with your family, what are you thirsting for? What are you pursuing? What matters the most to you? Think, even if you just look at this last week, you look at the last 7 days, think about, what were you pursuing? What were you hungering for? For some of us, if we're going to be honest, man, all we were trying to do is we were trying to relax. Like, our whole pursuit was the fact that we just wanted to take a break. We just wanted to have a good time, right? Maybe we even worked really hard during the week so that we could get to the weekend, right? We just wanted to have fun, chill, unwind, right? And that's okay, but let's call it what it is. If we're doing that over God, then we probably have a little bit of a problem, right? Many of us, maybe we're hungering for popularity. Maybe we're just trying to fit in. For some of us, maybe we're trying to have this image of a perfect family on the outside. If that's you, what you probably spent a lot of time on this week was a little bit of image management, right? From the outside, when people look in, they're like, man, that family's perfect. Like, the way they dress looks good, the way their yard looks good, their home looks good, the cars they drive, man, they actually clean their cars within the last 3 weeks. It's insane. Like, how do they do that, right? Their Facebook post, like, they look like they even love each other. Like, they're hugging and they're smiling. Like, what is going on? We're trying to pursue this happy Christian family. But the truth is, like, that same family, like, on their way to church today, they were, like, yelling and cursing at each other. Right before that Facebook post, there was, like, a nice solid right hook to the kid's left jaw, right? Took them out. Right before that, it just got a little bit crazy. But on the outside, it looks perfect. Because that's what you're pursuing, right? For others, we may be pursuing other things in our lives, maybe a better job, maybe a bigger house. Maybe we're pursuing to have a kid that's on the honor roll, right? For some, maybe we're just pursuing to have a kid that can beat up the kid on the honor roll, whatever. We're pursuing these different things, right? Think about it. What are you hungering and thirsting for? If you're most like most people in today's culture, and you're honest about it, over the last 7 days, we are probably pursuing something different than God. We are probably even putting something above Him in our lives. If we're honest with ourselves, every day we don't wake up and say, I'm going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. But to be blessed, to live that out, to be filled, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is what this means. In fact, this is what I want us to walk away with. When we pursue righteousness in our lives, it means that we're not just a Christian family, but we're a Christ-centered home. We're not called to be a Christian family. We're called to be a Christ-centered home. Pursuing righteousness means that it's more than just being a Christian home. It means putting Christ at the center of everything in our life. It's more than just putting a label on us. You can tell you can kind of tell yourself that, you know what, I'm a Christian family, but the truth is most people tell themselves the same thing. If you look at statistics, 80% of our country would probably label themselves as Christian. But there's a big difference between being a Christian and being Christ-centered. Christ-centered isn't just where Jesus is a part of our lives, but it's where he's the center of our lives. And everything we do is the center of our, he's the center of our lives. Again, if you look at the verse, it doesn't say, blessed are those who believe in Christ when it's convenient for them. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. King David, the same David from the story of David and Goliath, the same David from the story of David and Bathsheba, says it this way in Psalms 63:1. It says, you, God, are my God, and earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Here's David, and I love the imagery of this. In everything he's doing, he's saying, I thirst for you, right? I long for you. I seek you. I earnestly seek you. He's not saying, hey, you know what? I just want you when it's convenient for me. I just want you when there's a need in my life, and I'm just going to chase after you. He's saying, I earnestly seek after you. It's not about like, you, God, I kind of believe in you, you know, but like I'm just going to utilize you whenever I need you. No, it's like every single moment of every single day. And every action we take, Christ is the center of our lives. We're not just called to be a Christian family. We're called to be a Christ-centered home. We're called to earnestly seek after him. We're called to thirst for him. We're called to long for him in every part of our lives, especially in our families, especially in our homes. Living a Christ-centered life means changing what we desire to line up with what God desires for us. And what's incredible is this. If we start pursuing God, if we start seeking after righteousness, then you're going to see the benefits of that. You're going to see the benefits of walking in the Spirit. We're going to see the benefits of walking and really being led by His Holy Spirit. We pursue Him. We all of a sudden become empowered by His presence. We become empowered by His Spirit, and we become blessed. We become filled, and we become satisfied. Again, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You hear this verse, and it's so powerful, but think about it. Why doesn't this happen more in our lives, right? Why doesn't this happen more in our families? Why doesn't this happen more in our homes? Why don't we see more people who are blessed? There's a lot of people that go to church on a Sunday morning. Why do we see people going to church even struggling with this as well? I think there's two reasons, really. There's two traps that we often fall into. Number one is this. Number one is legalistic Christianity. Many times we fall into this trap of legalistic Christianity. And the truth is, legalistic Christianity does not work. So what is it? What is legalistic Christianity? Legalistic Christianity is when we pursue rules rather than pursue God. And it's a dangerous way to live. It really reduces Christianity. It really reduces Christ to just a bunch of do's and don'ts, to a bunch of cans and can'ts, to a bunch of shoulds and shouldn'ts, to a bunch of oughts and ought-nots, right? Don't drink, don't smoke, and don't hang out with those who do, right? You've heard that before. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with those who do. That's what legalistic Christianity really is. And it takes the emphasis off of God, and it puts the emphasis on the rules. And it really takes the emphasis off of God, and it puts the emphasis on what you can and cannot do. And it's always less about us and always more about God. I think one of the biggest problems with legalistic Christianity is this, is that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. I'm sure you've seen this before. Maybe you've even experienced this. But legalistic Christianity says, let's perform, right? It's about doing. It's about more about doing and less about becoming. And it never works. It keeps us from experiencing true blessings. And it turns us into a rule-centered home rather than a Christ-centered home. Legalistic Christianity doesn't work. And the opposite end of the spectrum as well, which many of us fall into, is lukewarm Christianity. Here's the second trap that many of us fall into. We fall into lukewarm Christianity. And to tell you the truth, it's just as dangerous. See, lukewarm Christianity is when we believe in God, but we live as if He doesn't exist. Really, it's kind of cultural Christianity. It's Christian in name only, but there's really no passion for the things that bring glory to God. And here's what Jesus says about this in Revelation 3:16. He says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Those are some strong words, right? That's a huge, huge warning for all of us. Lukewarm Christianity doesn't work. And you're thinking, like, how do I know if my family, how do I know if my household, if my home is lukewarm, right? Listen, it's different for everybody. I'm not going to judge your faith here. I'm not supposed to do that, right? But really, it's different for us. But I can tell you in my life, there's certain things that when I start slipping in these habits, and there's certain things when I start slipping in these behaviors, these things that I do, everything, then I know that I'm kind of falling into that trap of becoming lukewarm. Like, if I'm not praying, things are going bad, right? If I'm not reading my Bible, Things are going the opposite way. If I'm not sharing God with people, if I'm not giving, if I'm not letting God use me to give to others, right? If I'm not serving, then the truth is I'm slacking. And if I can't model those actions to my kids, how should I ever expect my family to be blessed? How should I ever expect my home to be a Christ-centered home? If I'm not doing those things, it's probably time to check myself, right? Legalism and lukewarm Christianity never work. And they're traps that are so easy to fall into. It's easy to become just a Christian home and not a Christ-centered home. But to be blessed, we're not called to be a Christian family. We're called to be a Christ-centered home. If you look at it, putting Christ in the center of our lives, putting Christ at the center of our families, at the center of our homes, it really does create blessing. If you look at that verse again, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed and filled. When we pursue righteousness, when we pursue putting Christ at the center of our homes, we will be blessed and we will be filled. Think about what that looks like in your life. Think about an area in your life right now that needs to be filled. Think about an area in your life where you need to experience blessing. Truth is, it's not going to come from seeking popularity. It's not going to come from being the champions on the 12U baseball team, right? The fall league. It's not going to become, we're not going to be filled by that championship feeling, right? It's not going to come from that new car with leather seats and butt warmers and everything. Like, it's not going to come from that. Like, those are all nice, but the truth is they're just byproducts. Imagine what would happen instead of pursuing those things, we pursued righteousness. Instead of just getting a temporary fix, the truth is we would experience an eternal fix and we would be truly blessed. Our mindset would actually completely change because pursuing God would change our mindset to the facts and to the things that really are important in our lives. We can be truly blessed and filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So how does this work? How do we become a Christ-centered home? How do we move to that next step? Like, maybe you can say for your house, you're like, yeah, we're a Christian home, but like, how do I move to become a Christ-centered home? When I get practical, I'll give you a couple just application steps that you can take and you can work on this week. You can work on for the following weeks as well. But number one is this. Involve God in your daily conversations. Involve God in your daily conversations. When we're talking about anything, truth is we need to involve God into those conversations. I read the scripture last week for our child dedication that we had, and it's just so powerful, and it's so important really for all of us to become a Christ-centered home. But it's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, and it says this. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Look at this passage of scripture. What's it saying? He's saying involve God in your daily conversation. Talk about God when you sit at home, right? When you're just relaxing, when you're sitting around the dinner table, when you're sitting on the couch, talk about God. It's always good to talk about him in these different things. Talk about him when you walk along the road. When you take a road trip or when maybe you're taking your kids to school, guess what? This is the time, and that is the time exactly when you need to bring up God in the conversation. Talk about them when you lie down. Before you go to sleep, use that time as a time to pour into your kids' lives. Use that time to pour into your wife's lives, to your husband's life, to say, man, what did God do today? What did you experience today? How did you see God in that? How did you wish maybe God could show up in that area of your life? Talk about him in your everyday conversation. Talk about him when you get up as well. Come expecting, wake up expecting for God to move in every area of your life and talk about it. Now, for some of you, this may seem a little bit weird, right? You're thinking like, dude, that seems hard, that seems difficult, that seems crazy. Now, listen though, it's simple. It can be as simple as just saying easy little things. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old right now. My 3-year-old is my son, Griffin. And I'm going to just let you know that his conversations don't go too deep. Like, his favorite words are butthead and poopy. I don't know if I can even say that from up here. But those are his favorite words. So like you have to like go around a conversation to make sure that he's not calling God a butthead or corporate poopy into that. You're thinking like, what is going on? Pray for him. But there's different things where we can see that. But they really do. They love to talk about God. They love to me just to kind of say, man, what was God doing in your life, right? What was God? What did you see God? What do you expect from God today, right? Even when they pray, they love to pray and they love to just talk about, man, like, thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my friend in preschool today that I was able to share coloring with or whatever it is. There's just simple things. Even when we're like, as simple as just driving down the road and you see in a sunset, instead of saying, hey, look how pretty that sunset is, it's kind of shifting it and saying, you know what? Look what God can do. And it's just that simple. Be intentional on celebrating the wins and giving to credit God for everything in your life. Involve them in your daily conversation. Even involve them in your fights. I think oftentimes we get into a struggle. Maybe we get into a fight with our wife or our spouse, and we think, you know what, like, where's God in this? The truth is he's right there, and he's waiting for you to call on him. Instead of saying, you know what, man, this is tough. Maybe we should just give up, right? Maybe we should just live together. Maybe we should just kind of cohabitate together where, you know, you stay on that side of the house, I'll stay on this side of the house, and we just stay out of each other's way, but we're still together. Maybe we should do these things. But God's saying, ask me to become in this situation. He's saying, listen, if I'm going to be the center of this, why don't you involve me even in your fights? And when you do that, you're reminding yourself that you're not just a Christian home. You're a Christ-centered home. So number one is involve God in your daily conversations. Number two is to make church a non-negotiable. Make church a non-negotiable. The truth is, if you're a Christ-centered home, guess what you do on a Sunday morning? You go to church. You make it a priority to worship God with others, and it's a non-negotiable. To become a Christ-centered home, it's easy to take an hour a week, an hour and a half a week, and to really just to worship and to be involved and to learn about your Creator, to be involved and to learn about your sustainer of your life, right? We need to honor the one who sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, to be risen again. We need to spend time with him to hear really how he's working in and through our lives. We need to spend some time to know that how the Bible can be applied to my life, and we need to make it a non-negotiable. In our homes, if we are truly going to pursue righteousness, if we're truly going to be a Christ-centered home, we need to go to church, period, and we need to make it a non-negotiable. Like every week, right? Being a Christ-centered home means that we make it a priority and really a part of who we are. Now, I know some of you guys are thinking like, dude, that's straight up crazy. You have no clue of how busy my life is. Like my weekends are like my one time where I can sleep in. It's my only downtime. I just can't make it, right? You're thinking like, dude, first of all, it's fall time, so it's football season, Corbin. Like, do you understand like football season? Like, I can't make it to church. So I understand what you're saying, but the truth is it makes a difference. When we make church a priority in our lives, it opens the door up for blessings. It opens the door up and it opens us up till we can be completely filled up. And I grew up in a house that made church a non-negotiable. And I'm so grateful for it. Like, I'm talking every Sunday of my entire life, like, going to church. Snow, we're going. Rain, we're going. Freezing cold outside, we're going. Really nice outside, we could go play baseball or something instead. Nope, we're going. Guest speaker, we know it's not going to be that good. No, we're going. Like, all these things, we know. It was a kind of a part of who we are, right? And to be honest, I'm grateful for that. Now, I did sneak out a couple times and play ping pong, but we went to church every single Sunday, and it developed something in me. Because of that, it developed this foundation. It kind of let me know that, you know what, I was a part of something greater. I was a part of this thing that I could call family. Because of going to church every Sunday, it created an avenue in me where I believe I was able to experience God's blessing and continue to experience God's blessing today. There's something so powerful in learning together. There's something extremely powerful in worshiping and praying together as well. There's something so powerful in doing this thing called life together. Again, we exist to love people to life change. That means that we walk through instances. That means that we walk through life with other people. And it comes from being a part of a church. And the truth is, when you miss a Sunday, when you miss church, you're not just missing an event. You're missing really on becoming and belonging to a family. In 1 Corinthians 12:26 through 27, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you, in each one of you, is a part of it. When we miss out, when we don't make church a priority, we're hurting those others around us. When they're suffering, we're not there to suffer with them. When they're getting honored, we're not there to rejoice with them. We're all in this thing called life together, and we need to make church a priority so that we can experience Christ and we can become a Christ-centered family and experience His blessings. Number three is show how seeking and receiving God is fun. Show how seeking and receiving from God is fun. The truth is, it is fun. It's amazing to see God's blessings. It's amazing to experience God's blessings. And we need to celebrate it. Last week was an incredible example of this, right? If you watched baptisms last week, amazing to see what God can do. There's a reason we scream and yell, because it's fun. It's incredible. It's something that is so amazing that we can't do ourselves. It's only what God can do in and through us. And we need to celebrate it. We need to have fun with it. Even celebrating last week, the 2 years, bouncy houses, right? Like, that's not a blast. But what are we doing? We're celebrating what God has done. The truth is, it is fun. It's something we need to share and we need to see as really a celebration. Somehow we made this into the way, how somehow we made God into this boring figure. We're like, I should just go to church. I should sit down and be real quiet. I shouldn't ever interact. I'm not allowed to laugh. All this kind of stuff. No, God is not boring. It was never meant to be boring. Following Him is so much more than just rules and regulations, but it's seeking Him. It's allowing Him to do incredible things. It's receiving from Him. And the truth is, it's a wild ride. Even as this church, I mean, we're not doing anything. All we're doing is we're just trying to hold on for what God has. And we're trying to hold on as tight as we can because it's an incredible ride. It's a rush. It's amazing to see what God can do in and through us. It's amazing to celebrate when He transforms us. And we don't do it ourselves. I think oftentimes we think that, I'm going to church, so I'm becoming a better person. Truth is, God's doing a work in and through you. God sent His Son to live a perfect life because He knew we couldn't. So there's nothing we could do, right? Then He died on a cross for each of us, but it was risen to give us new life so that we could celebrate that. So that we could seek, so that we could receive from Him. It's an incredibly fun thing to experience the transformation that only He can give. And it's a celebration. And here's why. It's because we're not called just to be a Christian family, but we're called to be a Christ-centered home. And when we do, we're pursuing His righteousness, and we experience the blessings that only He can give. To experience blessings in our home, we need to pursue righteousness. We need to pursue righteousness by involving Him in our daily conversation. We need to pursue righteousness by making church a non-negotiable. And then we need to pursue righteousness by seeking and receiving from Him and celebrating that, by making it fun. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for today. God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for speaking to us. God, we thank You for calling us to be more than just a Christian home. God, we thank You for calling us to be a Christ-centered home so that we can truly experience Your blessings. And God, we ask that You help us. God, we ask that You help us as we pursue righteousness in our families. God, we ask that You help us as we become a Christ-centered home. God, we ask that You help us to involve You in our daily conversations. God, we ask that You help us to make church a non-negotiable. And God, we ask that You help us to see how fun it is to truly receive and to seek after You. God, we thank You for what You're doing. God, we thank You for stirring in our lives. We thank You for shaking some things up, God, and for really pushing us to make a next step, God. And God, we ask You to give us the power to do that. God, we love You and we thank You. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.